إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الكلام كلام الله، وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد، there is no doubt, أيها الإخوة الكرام, that the door and the role of our sisters within the مجتمع and within our societies and within our communities is one that is of the utmost importance. And indeed, كذابين and liars are those who claim that Islam pays no importance to the women. For indeed, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to address the women specifically on a weekly basis and would inform them of that which is related to the ahkam that is specific to them. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in the Quran numerous ahkam, numerous rulings. Bal, Allah Azza wa Jal in fact revealed a surah called Surah An-Nisa, a whole surah. And from the surah, there were those surah that were named after women. Surah Al-Maryam, Surah Al-Mujadila. All of those surah that were named after women. And in fact, the first Quran, when Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he collected it and he had it collected and placed into one mushaf known as the Mushaf Al-Umm, or the one main mushaf. That mushaf was left in the custody and the protection of Hafsa radiallahu anha. All of that being from the affairs that indicate that the role of the woman, ikhwan, from the very beginning was of importance, and the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions paid her importance. And that is for no reason other than the fact that, brothers and sisters, the woman, she is half of the mujtama. She's half of our society, half of our communities. How possibly could she be neglected? And since the woman is half of our societies, then it goes without saying, ikhwan, that Islam and Allah Azza wa Jal in the ahkam of the Quran naturally pay concern to the woman. And so, ikhwan, we find then in the ahadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ahadith related to the women specifically, a large body of literature, and likewise ayat that mention their affair and mention ahkam and rulings related to them. Therefore, the claim that that Islam pays no importance to the women is kadhib, and it is one of the very many falsehoods that are attributed to Allah and to Islam. From those things, brothers and sisters, that the enemies of Islam attempt to use to dispraise Islam, or to yushawwihuna Surah Al-Islam, to make Islam appear to be something ugly and unattractive and unappealing. And so the station then, Ikhwan, of the woman within Islam is one that is very great. Since she is the one that the nurturing, Ikhwan, of the future of our community, the nurturing of the future mashayikh, the future du'at, the future teachers, the future mothers, the future daughters, the future fathers, the future husbands, begins in her hands. And so on the basis of that then, we understand that the woman is the first murabbi, and she is the first teacher of our societies and our communities. She's the first one that nurtures our children. She's the first one that educates them. And since that is the case, ayyuhal ikhwa, then it is imperative that she understands that she has this very great role. Her role, in essence, as it relates to nurturing the future community and the future generation, it precedes the role of the man as it relates to nurturing the future generation. And since that is the case, ikhwan, then just as an individual, a mother, when she looks at nurturing her daughter, one of the first things that she'll teach her is how to be a mother, how to be a good woman. She teaches her how to cook. She teaches her how to take care of the home, how to look after children, how to clean, and those things that are elementary to a good mother and a good woman. And that then, ikhwan, since that is the case as it relates to the mother that rears a young woman, and it goes without doubt that she likewise is majorly responsible for educating the young children, boys or girls. And therefore, if that is the case, it is imperative that she educates herself. Since, as the scholars mentioned, فَقِدُ الشَّيْءِ لَا يُعْطِيهِ, the one who does not possess something is not able to give it and convey it. It is not befitting that our mothers are ignorant. It is not befitting that our wives are ignorant, yani within our communities. Rather, the mothers, they are the future, or they are the beginnings of our future generation. Therefore, it is imperative, ayyuhal ikhwa, that she is upon a level of ilm, a level of nobility, character, morals, and ethics. And what better, ikhwan, for her to take her example from than the greatest of the women that have ever existed? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us in a number of ahadith about four women, in fact, a fifth that we'll mention when we come to it in his place. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned, as it relates to the best women that have ever lived, he mentioned, alayhi salatu wassalam, khayru nisa'il alameen arba, that the best women of the alameen, the best women of the world. And as occurs in some riwayat, khayru nisa'id dunya arba, the best women of the dunya are four: Maryam bint Imran, Asiya imra'at Fir'aun, Khadija bint Khuwaylid, and Fatima bint Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He mentioned, alayhi salatu wasalam, that they are the best women of the dunya. First of them, he mentioned Maryam, even though in terms of chronologically, Asiya was before Maryam. But he mentioned Maryam bint Imran, Asiya bint Mazahim, Khadija bint Khuwaylid, and Fatima bint Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam. They are the best four women of the dunya. In a variant narration, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informed us of the fact that not only are they the best women of the dunya, but they're the best women in Jannah likewise. He mentioned, alayhi salatu wasalam, afdalu nisa'i ahli al-jannah, the best women from ahli al-jannah, the best women from the women of Jannah are four. He mentioned Khadija bint Khuwaylid, Fatima bint Imran, Maryam bint Fatima bint Muhammad, Maryam bint Imran, and Asiya bint Muzahim. And so they are the best of the women of the dunya and the best of the women of the hereafter. And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't stop there. Not only are they the best of the women of the dunya, the best of the women of the people of Jannah, but the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam likewise mentioned that they are the most complete. He mentioned alayhi salatu wasalam, as I heard in the hadith of Abi Musa al-Ash'ari, kamula min al-rijal al-kathir, that from the men there have been many who have reached perfection and have reached completeness. That is, in terms of the characteristics or the noble characteristics of manhood, there were many men that have reached perfection in that regard. He mentioned, وَلَمْ يَكْمُلْ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ إِلَّا أَرْبَعًا. He said, but they have not occurred, or they has not reached from perfection, إِلَّا آسِيَ إِمْرَأَةْ فِرْعَوْنَ. آسِيَ, the إِمْرَأَة, or the wife of Fir'aun. Maryam, the bint of Imran. And then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَإِنَّ فَضْلَ عَائِشَ عَلَى سَائِرِ النِّسَاءِ كَفَضْلِ الثَّرِيدِ عَلَى سَائِرِ الطَّعَامِ. That verily the virtue of Aisha over the rest of the women is like the virtue of Thareed over other food. Thareed was considered the best food, ikhwan, among the Arab. It was a meal that was made that constituted meat, and it had within it it was like a broth type meal that had bread within it, and a combination of other things alongside meat, and it was considered the best meal that one could present in those times and in those days. And so the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that the virtue of Aisha over the rest of the women is like the virtue of Thareed over the rest of the food. And so, though the ahadith mentioned four, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he added Aisha radiallahu anha in mention. And so in essence, we have five of the best women that ever existed and that ever lived in the dunya. As far as Aisha radiallahu anha is concerned, and of course, she is the wife of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she is from among the mukthireen, and from among those who narrated plentifully from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and thus without doubt she was from the most knowledgeable of the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As Imam Suyuti has mentioned concerning the mukthireen, wal mukthireen fi riwayat wal mukthirun fi riwayat al athar Abu Huraira wa yalihi ibn Umar وجابر وأنس والبحر كالخدر وجابر وزوجة النبي. That indeed those who have narrated, or those who are plentifully narrated from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Huraira ويليه ابن عمر. Abu Huraira, and that which the one that follows him is Ibn Umar. وأنس والبحر, referring to Abu Ibn Abbas. كالخدري, likewise أبو سعيد الخدري. وجابر وزوجة النبي. جابر, and then زوجة النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام. And thus the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, إخوان, when we spoke of Aisha and her virtue, from the things, إخوان, that أهل العلم mentioned that relate to the affair of Aisha, is that she was more virtuous over the rest of women in terms of that which she possessed from ilm, knowledge of the sunnah. She, ikhwan, was from among not only the carriers of the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but she would give fatawa among the companions. She would give verdicts. Just as one of us, ikhwan, in our time, we return back to the kibar al-mashaykh for fatawa and verdicts, the companions, they would return back to Aisha radiallahu anha, and she would give them fatawa and pass verdicts, and she would correct them oftentimes. That she would make a, or someone would make a statement, or someone would inquire about an affair, or she would pick up that they had misunderstood something, and then she would correct them. In fact, at the time of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we used to say such and such, or the Quran was revealed with such and such. And so Aisha radiallahu anha would correct them alongside giving fatawa and alongside giving verdicts. She lived, ayyuhal ikhwa, for somewhere in the region of 50 years after the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yani after the passing away of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, she lived for some 50 years after him, and she was 19 years old when the Messenger passed away. And so in terms of the best time of one's youth and the best time that is related to one's learning and having or being astute and having a brain that is supple and ready for learning, then she caught that era of her own life being married to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam within the household of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so it goes without saying, ikhwan, that that which she learned and that which she studied and picked up, then she done that, or she picked that up and learned that and studied that and understood it from a very young age. And so her brain was nurtured upon the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As the scholars used to say, al-hifdhu fi sighar kan-nakhshi 'ala al-hajar. They used to say, hifdhu, when one is young, memorization when one is young, is like carving into stone. And so she was from among the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not only was she close to the Messenger of Allah from a young age, like Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, but she, ikhwan, was one who was married to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so in terms of the household, in terms of on a regular basis, she was taking from and had that close relationship with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there's little wonder that she, ikhwan, was from the most knowledgeable of the Sahaba and from the muftis among the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as it relates to Aisha radiallahu anha, then when the Messenger was asked on an occasion, who is or who do you love the most from the people of the dunya, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said Aisha. And so it was said, no, from among the men. And so he said, her father. And that then indicates, ikhwan, that she was beloved to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the scholars, they differ concerning her and Khadija radiallahu anha. Since Khadija radiallahu anha, though Aisha was more knowledgeable than Khadija, Khadija, ikhwan, preceded Aisha radiallahu anha to supporting and aiding being the support of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the Messenger first received the wahi, it was Khadija that he returned home to. It was Khadija that consoled him. And in fact, the scholars, they mention that there was a period, and for a period Khadija was half of Islam, that there were no believers other than the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Khadija. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam never married another woman while he was married to her, and he, by way of being blessed to marry her prior to Islam, he was granted that which the notables of Quraysh and those who were considered to be of a greater station than the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam before he became a messenger, a greater station in the sense that they were from the main or the leaders of Quraysh, they all desired to marry Khadija, since she was of noble lineage, and likewise she was known to be astute, intelligent, she was a bright woman, she was a figure among Quraysh, and she was likewise wealthy, and she was a businesswoman similarly. And so the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam being blessed to marry her, that no doubt Allah Azza wa Jalla selected her for him. And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam married her, ikhwan, when he was 25 and she was 40 years old. And thus, she was some 15 years his elder. And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all of his children were from Khadija radiallahu anha, other than Ibrahim alayhi salam. Other than Ibrahim, who was from Maria, his slave girl Maria al-Qibtiyya. And Ibrahim passed away when he was 18 months old. But the rest of the children of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam were from Khadija. And it was Khadija that consoled her when the Messenger received the wahi and was unsure of what was happening. And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he returned back to her. She consoled him that verily you look after the poor and you help the weak and the needy, and Allah Azza wa Jal will not yet let you down or forsake you. And that no doubt Thereon, after she took the Messenger of Allah to her cousin, who was a man from the men of the people of the book, and was from the people of knowledge in that regard. And she then was the main support of the Messenger of Allah when he initially received revelation. And the Messenger would praise her in that regard, even after her death. And it was the cause of jealousy for Aisha radiallahu anha. Because the Messenger of Allah praised no woman the way he praised Khadija. And thus Ahlul Ilm, they differ concerning whether Khadija was more virtuous and was superior to Aisha, or whether Aisha was more superior. Many of Ahlul Ilm hold that Aisha was more superior on the basis of the statement of the Messenger of Allah that the virtue of Aisha over the rest of the women is like the virtue of Thareed over the rest of the types of food. And so here the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he did not say except Khadija. Rather, his statement was one that was general, and thus many of Ahlul Ilm hold that Aisha radiallahu anha was more virtuous. In any case, ikhwan, they were both mentioned as being from the most complete and perfect of the women that have ever existed. Similarly, ikhwan, from those who the Messenger ﷺ referred to as Khairun Nisa, as being from the best of women, the Messenger ﷺ, he mentioned Fatima radiallahu anha, his daughter. And she, without doubt, ikhwan, being from the best of the women. She was older than Aisha radiallahu anha. She was born a number of years before the Bi'tha, a number of years before the Messenger was made a prophet. Some of the people of knowledge and the Mu'arrikhun, yani the historians, they mentioned she was born some 5 years or so before the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam became a prophet. Therefore, she was witness to the persecution that took place with her father at the hands of Quraysh. The persecution that took place with the companions likewise at the hands of Quraysh. She observed all of that. But look at who we're speaking about, ikhwan. We're speaking about a girl whose father was the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah, who was married to Ali radiallahu anhu, one of the Khulafa al-Rashidun and one of the best of the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, without doubt. And likewise, her children were Hassan and Hussein. Therefore, ikhwan, what type of woman then are we to expect that she's going to be? Without doubt, ikhwan, from the best of the women of the dunya, and she's from the best of the women of the hereafter. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned and whispered to her on an occasion when he was going through his marad maut, and the death or the sickness that caused his death. He whispered to her and she began to cry. And then he whispered to her on a separate occasion and she began to laugh. And so Aisha radiallahu anha, she asked Fatima, what was it that he whispered? And so Fatima said, I'm not going to divulge the secret of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then after the death of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she asked her again and she said, now I will tell you. She said, when he whispered to me the first time, he mentioned that such and such a surah was revealed upon him, and that he does not see except that it is Allah Azza wa Jal informing him of the fact that his death is close. And so she began to cry. And then the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam whispered to her again. When he whispered to her, he said, "Fattaqillaha wasbiri." So fear Allah and be patient, because I am a blessed salaf for you. And then he whispered to her again when she began to cry. And he said to her, "But does it not please you that I will be, or that you will be the first of my family and of my household to join me?" And that no doubt was the case, ikhwan. It is from the dala'il al-nubuwa. It is from the signs of the prophethood of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Since Fatima radiallahu anha was the first of his household to join him. She passed away some 6 months after the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so Fatima radiallahu anha, Aisha radiallahu anha, Khadija radiallahu anha, all of them, ikhwan, having that close proximity to the best of the prophets and the messengers that ever existed, the best of the prophets and the messengers that ever lived, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So three ikhwan of the best women that ever existed in the dunya were women from our ummah. Three of the five were women from our ummah, best of the women of the dunya. Then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam likewise informed us of the affair of Imran, of Maryam bint Imran. Maryam bint Imran, ayyuhal ikhwa, no doubt, being from that noble household, the household of prophethood again. And that is that Maryam, she and her affair was mentioned in Surah Ali Imran. Allah Azza wa Jalla informs us of her affair. إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى آدَمَ وَنُوحًا وَآلَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَآلَ عِمْرَانَ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ ذُرِّيَّةً بَعْضُهَا مِنْ بَعْضٍ وَاللَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. Allah mentions, indeed Allah has chosen and selected. إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى آدَمَ, selected Adam. وَنُوحًا, and Nuh. وَآلَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ, and the family of Ibrahim. وَآلَ عِمْرَانَ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ, and the family of Imran over and above all of the worlds. And then he said, some of the scholars, they mentioned the reason Allah mentions Adam and then Nuh and then Ali Ibrahim is because Adam was the first of mankind, was the one that Allah Azza wa Jalla created and the father of mankind. Therefore, every single human being has issued from him. Nuh being the father of mankind after the flood. Since everyone that was destroyed with the flood, meaning from the children of Adam, there was none of them except that anyone that came there and after came and was from the progeny of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. Thirdly, Ibrahim being Abul Anbiya, the father of the prophets and the messengers, we found that from Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, all of the prophets and the messengers and the noble umam and the noble nations that existed, they were all from the lineage and from the progeny of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Ibrahim and his two sons Ishaq and Ismail, and the prophets and the messengers, all of them came from the lineage of Ishaq. Yani Yaqub, Yusuf, Musa, Ibrahim, Musa, Harun, Yahya, Sulaiman, Dawood, they were all from the lineage of Ishaq, going back to Ibrahim. And even the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was from the lineage of the second son of Ibrahim, Ismail, and that is lineage of the Arab. And so Allah Azza wa Jal, therefore, he mentioned these individuals since mankind has issued from them. And Allah Azza wa Jal selected from Bani Israel Ala Imran, the family of Imran. And Allah Azza wa Jal informs us of the wife of Imran. إِذْ قَالَتْ إِمْرَأَةُ عِمْرَانِ, the wife of Imran, some narrations mention her name was Hanna, yani Hanna. إِذْ قَالَتْ إِمْرَأَةُ عِمْرَانَ رَبِّ إِنِّي نَظَرْتُ لَكَ مَا فِي بَطْنِي مُحَرَّرًا فَتَقَبَّلْ مِنِّي إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. When the wife of Imran, she said, Oh Allah, verily I am offering in your service that which is in my stomach. Yani she was pregnant when she made the dua, made the oath. In your service, فَتَقَبَّلْ مِنِّي, so accept it from me. Indeed, you are السَّمِيعَ الْعَلِيمُ. فَلَمَّا وَضَعَتْهَا قَالَتْ رَبِّ إِنِّي وَضَعْتُهَا أُنْثَى. And so when she gave birth to the child, she said, Oh my Lord, indeed I have given birth to a female. She was expecting it to be a male, to be a boy. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا وَضَعَتْ, and Allah is most knowledgeable concerning what she gave birth to. And so Allah Azza wa Jal continues to inform us of her statement, وَإِنِّي سَمَّيْتُهَا مَرْيَمُ, and verily I have named her Maryam. وَإِنِّي أُعِيدُهَا وَذُرِّيَّتَهَا مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ, and I seek refuge for her in you and for her child. مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ, from a shaytanir rajim. And thus on the basis of that, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned that there is no child that is born except that it is pinched by shaytan. at the time of birth. There is no child that is born except that it is pinched or prodded by shaitan, except Maryam and her son. Except Maryam and her son. So that did not occur. And that is why, as Ahlul Ilm mentioned, why the child cries at the time of being born, why he immediately cries. So Allah Azza wa Jalla informs us, if na'am. وَلَيْسَ ذَكَرُكَ الْأُنْثَى وَإِنِّي سَمَّيْتُهَا مَرْيَمُ وَإِنِّي أُعِيذُهَا بِكَ وَذُرِّيَّتَهَا مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ فَتَقَبَّلَهَا رَبُّهَا بِقَبُولٍ حَسَنٍ وَأَنْبَتَهَا نَبَاتًا حَسَنًا وَكَفَّلَهَا زَكَرِيَّا. Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned, so Allah Azza wa Jalla accepted that from her بِقَبُولٍ حَسَنٍ. And she was nurtured in a good manner, and she was taken care of by Zakariya. And Bani Israel at the time, Ikhwan, in the vicinity of Bayt al-Maqdis, they disputed over who should look after her, since she was from the noble family of Imran. And she was the child of the wife of Imran, who had given this oath as it relates to the child. And so each of them wanted to look after her. All of them wanted to look after her, knowing that she came from a noble family. Knowing that this family was one that was blessed by Allah Azza wa Jal, and that looking after one of their children would be something that would be immense khayr. And so they disputed concerning who should look after her, and they drew lots. And so when they drew lots, the lots fell on three separate occasions upon Zakariya. And so Zakariya was the one that was in charge of her. And so when he nurtured her as a young child, she had her own quarters within Bayt al-Maqdis, and he would look after her, he would come to take care of her, bring her food and what have you. And Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, كُلَّمَا دَخَلَ عَلَيْهَا زَكَرِيَا الْمِحْرَابِ وَجَدَ عِنْدَهَا رِزْقًا. Every time Zakariya entered upon her in her mihrab, in her place of prayer and her place of residence, وَجَدَ عِنْدَهَا رِزْقًا, he would find food with her. قَالَ يَا مَرْيَمُ أَنَّا لَكِ هَذَا. And he said, oh Maryam, where have you gotten this from? قَالَتْ هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. She said, indeed, it is from Allah. And the scholars, Ikhwan, of Tafsir, they mention one of the main reasons that it was so amazing was because she would have with her the food of spring or the food of summer in the winter, and the food of winter in the summer. Since, Ikhwan, it was not like in our time, you go to the supermarket, you get fresh fruit and veg and every type of delight present on your shelf, you just purchase it and it's present all year round. As far as in those times, Ikhwan, the only time that you could get a certain type of food, when it was season, when it was the season for that food. And so she would have those foods outside of their season. Zakariya would enter upon her and she would have the fruits from summer present before her, in front of her, in the winter. And thus Zakariya, he asked her, Ya Maryam, wa anna laki hada, where have you gotten this from? And look at the response of Maryam. She didn't say, I don't know, it just appears before me, I just wake up and it's there sometimes, I don't know myself. Rather, she said, Huwa min indillah, it is from Allah. As a child nurtured upon tawheed, nurtured upon khair, nurtured upon at-tamassuk billah wal-i'tisam billah, being connected and bonded to Allah Azza wa Jal, and understanding that everything comes to you from Allah Azza wa Jal, from a child. Qalat huwa min indillah. So she said, indeed, it is from Allah. Inna Allah yarzuqu man yasha'u bighayri hisab. And then listen to her tawheed. She continues, indeed Allah yarzuqu man yasha'u bighayri hisab. Allah Azza wa Jal blesses or gives sustenance to whomsoever He wills without hisab, without measure. And that then, Ikhwan, is from the affairs that indicate from a young age that she similarly was nurtured upon tawheed, upon khayr, upon ilm, upon clinging to Allah Azza wa Jal, upon relying upon Allah Azza wa Jal. And thus when Allah Azza wa Jal sent the angel to her, saying, "In Ya Maryam, O Maryam, inna Allaha yubashiruki," that indeed Allah Azza wa Jal gives you the glad tidings of a child. قالت أن يكون لي غلام وما و she said, "How may I have a child? ولم يمسسني بشر," when indeed no man has ever touched me. They said, "Verily, that is what Allah Azza wa Jal decrees, and He does as He pleases." قال كذلك الله يخلق ما يشاء. He creates that which He pleases. And there, that then, ikhwan, has in it an indication of the fact that she was informed of the affair by the malaika. Then Allah Azza wa Jal caused the child, and some of the narrations mention that her childbirth and her pregnancy, that it was, or it occurred over a short period of time. Not, it wasn't a regular pregnancy, but it was a short period that she conceived the child and then she was ready to give birth over a short period of time. And that, no doubt, is an addition indication of the miraculous nature of what had taken place. And so Allah Azza wa Jal nurtured Maryam, ikhwan, from a young age upon deen and tawheed and ilm and khayr. And Asiya, the fourth of the four that occur in the hadith that the Messenger of Allah mentioned, that the best of the women of the dunya are four. Asiya alayha salam bint Mazahim, who was the wife of Fir'aun and was the one, ikhwan, that nurtured Musa alayhi salatu wassalam. And it was on the basis of the da'wah of Musa that she became a believer. That number one, she nurtured the Prophet and the Rasul of Allah Azza wa Jal, Musa alayhi salatu wassalam. And when he was sent as a messenger, she believed in his message. She accepted his message and she was from among those, ikhwan, from among the believers at the time of Musa. It was said, ikhwan, that when Fir'aun, alayhi min Allah, ma yastahiq, that when he discovered that she was a believer, that he took her and he began to torture her, his own wife. And that he tortured her on the basis of her rejecting, or in order for her to reject belief in Musa. And some of the narrations mention that Fir'aun ultimately, after she made the dua, as Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned, that she said, as Allah mentioned, ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا امْرَأَةَ فِرْعَوْنَ إِذْ قَالَتْ رَبِّ ابْنِ لِي عِنْدَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَنَجِّنِي مِنْ فِرْعَوْنَ وَعَمَلِي وَنَجِّنِي مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. That Allah has struck an example in the wife of Fir'aun, when she said, "Oh my Lord, build for me a bait, build for me a house in Jannah, close to you. Save me from Fir'aun and his actions, and save me from the oppressive people." That after she made that dua, Fir'aun killed her. And Allah Azza wa Jal no doubt granted her that which she had supplicated for. And so that which we have then, and that which we understand, is that when we look, ikhwan, at each and every one of these scenarios, we see that each of these women that were the most perfect of women, they had a close connection to a prophet from the prophets of Allah. As far as Asiya, then she had a connection to Musa, and she nurtured Musa. As far as Maryam, then she had a connection to Zakariya and to Isa. She was nurtured and brought up by Zakariya, and she gave birth, and she was the mother of Isa. If you look at Fatima radiallahu anha, then she was the daughter of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the wife of one of the best men that ever walked upon the face of the earth after the prophets and the messengers. And the mother of two of the most beloved of the companions to the messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Hassan and Hussein. And if we look at Aisha radiallahu anha, then she was the best and the most beloved of the dunya to the best messenger that ever existed, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so, ikhwan, we see then that these best women were the best because of, or from the reasons, was their connection and their close proximity to the prophets and the messengers, which follows, ikhwan, that they were close in proximity to the best examples that ever lived. Close in terms of knowledge, and close in terms of observing them, being near to them, seeing that which has come from them, from action and from a statement, and from silent approval. And thus we see the effect, ikhwan, of being close to prophethood, or close to those who have a connection with prophethood. And in our time, of course, there are no more prophets and messengers. But what we do have is we have the people of knowledge, the people of khayr and fadl. And the people of khayr and fadl, ikhwan, the inheritors of the prophets and the messengers, then it goes without doubt that they still exist, and Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed this ummah with them. Therefore, ikhwan, what we benefit from the lives and the stories of the likes of these greatest women is, number one, the fact that they were affected by close proximity. They were affected by those who were connected to them and related to them. And they were affected by the examples that they had around them. On top of the fact that they, from them, were those who were inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not that they were prophets and messengers or received revelation, but received something from inspiration. Allah Azza wa Jal, for example, as it relates to Maryam, then Allah Azza wa Jal informs us of the fact that Maryam alayha salam, that she had angels sent to her to inform her. Yani, that if anybody tries to talk to you, if anybody tries to come close to you to speak to you, فَقُولِ إِنِّي نَظَرْتُ, that you should say that indeed I have made an oath that إِنِّي نَظَرْتُ سَوْمًا فَلَنْ أُكَلِّمَ الْيَوْمَ إِنْسِيًّا, that I have made an oath that I would make sawm, and that in those days, ikhwan, included not speaking, was a reference to not speaking to anyone, and I will not speak to anyone today. And so, ikhwan, Allah Azza wa Jal sent angels to address her and inform her of what she should do. And so what we understand, though, as we mentioned, as a general benefit, is that these women, ikhwan, they were affected by those who they had around them from the examples that they had in their lives. Fatima radiallahu anha was affected by the fact that her father was the messenger of Allah, her husband was Ali. Asiya alayhi salam was affected by the fact that she was the mother of Musa, and she was in close proximity, ikhwan, to Musa, and she saw the truthful nature of Musa, and she observed the dhulm and the oppression and the tyranny of Fir'aun. Maryam, likewise, she was the mother of Isa, and she was the daughter of the family, of one of the daughters of the family of Imran, and likewise was nurtured by the Prophet of Allah, Zakariya. And so she was affected by those who were around her, affected by those who nurtured her. Aisha radiallahu anha, from a young age, was married to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She was affected by the Messenger of Allah, the close proximity to him, the close relation that she had to him. And therefore we see the effect of close proximity and relation. And if there is a benefit that we should take from that as mothers, or as future mothers, or as daughters, and that is that we should take from that the importance of being good examples. Each and every one of these noble women became what they became because of the examples that they had, because of the knowledge that Allah blessed them with. And so the affair of ilm and knowledge, that is knowledge of that which has come from the prophets and the messengers, is from the main fundamental criterion and ingredients with the noble nature of each and every one of these women. They were not women who were ignorant. Khadija radiallahu anha was so beloved, ikhwan, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah azza wa jal gave her salam. Allah azza wa jal gave her salam. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was visited by Jibreel on an occasion, and he said that you should inform Khadija that her Lord gives her salam. That is, that Allah azza wa jal conveyed salam to Khadija personally. And what greater fadl, ikhwan, and what greater virtue than that Allah azza wa jal should send you salam. And all of that, ikhwan, indicative then of the fact that because of how they were, because of their natures, because of the knowledge that they had, because of the ilm that they were upon, because of their close proximity to these perfect, to these beautiful examples, they became the noble women that they became. And therefore each and every one of us should take a lesson from that as parents, whether mothers or fathers, or as women who are looking to get married and possibly become a parent. The importance of being an example to those who are beneath you. Or even sisters who have younger sisters or who have younger brothers who look at you or look up to you. That each and every one of these noble women, they were affected by those who they had around them. And so you should understand then that your proximity to individuals, ikhwan, is going to rub off on individuals. It's going to rub off on people. It's either going to rub off on your children, or it's going to rub off on your younger brothers and sisters, or it's going to rub off on your relatives, those who are close to you. And how many, ikhwan, from among the brothers and sisters became Muslim because they had a brother or a sister or a relative or a cousin or an uncle or a father or a mother that embraced Islam and began to give them da'wah and began to speak to them and nurture them, and they eventually recognized the truthful nature of Islam, and they were affected by the relative that they had, whether their cousin or their uncle or their brother, whatever the case may be. How many a brother was affected by the fact that he had a brother that was, or a relative that was a Muslim, and he liked the way that this man had changed, he liked the example that he saw, he liked the way he looked, he liked how he now thinks, he liked his knowledge, he was affected by that to change. And similarly, ikhwan, we have to look at the affair of ourselves being examples. And what is it that the people take from us? Do they benefit from us noble character? Do they benefit from us, yani, that which is khayr? What is it that our children benefit from us? Do they benefit from us noble character, khayr, nobility, ilm? Do they benefit from us uprightness, good morals and ethics? Do they benefit from us the fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla and taqwa and birr and righteousness? Or do they learn from us how to be one that is constantly in opposition to the Sharia? And do they learn from us following desires? And do they take from us how to spend your day backbiting and gossiping and wasting time? And do they learn from us how to use the internet for evil? And do they learn from us how to cause dissension among the people? Do they learn from us how to be a disobedient wife who follows her desires and does as she pleases and doesn't care? Do they learn from us how to be a bad husband and a bad father? One that has no concern except to please himself. And one that causes those who are beneath him and under his jurisdiction to be neglected and go to waste. What is it that those who are close to us and who may possibly be affected from us and by us, what do they take from us? What is it that they benefit from us, ikhwan? And that really, Ikhwan, is one of the main affairs that we need to look at when we're looking at the affair of each of it and every one of these four women. Each and every one of them had someone that affected them. A relative, a father, yani a mother. Someone, Ikhwan, that had, and that was from among, look at Fatima radiallahu anha. Not only was the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam her father, but her mother was one of the best women that ever existed on earth, in the dunya. Khadija was the mother of Fatima radiallahu anha. And so look then, when the mother is the greatest, or is from the greatest of the women that ever lived, look at the effect that that had upon her daughter. That she followed suit. She was like her mother. And became, not only was she from the most beloved of the creation to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but she was one of the four best women, the greatest women that ever existed. And as we mentioned, she was from the khair. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned three characteristics. That she was from the khair of the women of the dunya, the best of the women of the dunya, the best of the women of Ahlul Jannah, and the most complete of the women of the dunya. Look then how she was affected by her mother. And then if we look at the examples that we have around us, and look at the children that we have in our midst, in our own communities, and just reflect. Are the children greatly different to their parents? Or are the children similar to their parents? I'm sure you'll agree, it does occur that on some occasions the children differ and are seriously different to their parents. And one is amazed at how the child came out like that. How is that possible to happen? But it occurs. And the prophets and the messengers, Ikhwan, they had children from them, they had children who not only were not upon their way, but were kuffar. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, mathalan. His son, from among the kuffar. And so it is possible then that the child doesn't follow their parents. But the general order of the day, Ikhwan, is that the child is affected by their parents and resemble the parents in many ways. In attitude, in character, in nature. And so if there's any benefit that we take from this story is that we, particularly with a focus upon the sisters, since this session is for them, we have to understand that we as women, we are the initial murabbeen. And we are from the initial nurturers of the future generation. They are in our hands. You, the mothers, you, the young sisters who may have beneath you, young brothers and sisters, and who play a role in their life. You are from the first, if not the first of their teachers, the first of those who will nurture them and educate them, the first example that they'll see, the first thing that they will, or the first individual that they will benefit from and take from. And so let them take from you that which is khair. Let them not take from you loving the dunya, opposing the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, opposing the people of khair and good, that one is constantly upon some form of contention and problem, a trouble causer and a rebel rouser. Let that not be you. Let that not be what your children or your younger brothers and sisters take from you. Let us try and be the examples, Ikhwan, that were present and that we learn from these noble women and these noble examples that Allah Azza wa Jal had from them, had made mention of the fact that they were in Jannah. The likes of Asiya radiallahu alayha salam and Maryam alayha salam. نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يوفقنا وإياكم لما يحبه ويرضاه صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. طيب. So we have a few books and CDs, inshallah, that we're gonna.
All for the sisters.
A few books and CDs for the sisters, based on responding to a number of questions. The first of the questions is that we mentioned the four greatest women of the dunya. They are Fatima, we mentioned Asiya, we mentioned Khadija, and we mentioned Maryam. They are all the bint and the daughters of who? The daughters of who? Yani Fatima, the daughter of who? Khadija, the daughter of who? Maryam, the daughter of who? And Asiya, the daughter of who? Fatima, the daughter of who? Khadija, the daughter of who? Maryam, the daughter of who? And Asiya, the daughter of who? Again, we mentioned the four women of the dunya, or the four best women of the dunya: Fatima, Asiya, Maryam, and Khadija. They are the daughters of who? Fatima, the daughter of who? Aisha, the daughter of who? Khadija, the daughter of who? Asiya, the daughter of who? And Maryam, the daughter of who? And that, incidentally, is for a book and a CD. Yellow paper is still one missing. I mean, we'll reserve it right now. If nobody comes with a better answer, then you've got it, inshallah. If nobody can do better than this, then you have it. Fatima, the daughter of who? Maryam, the daughter of who? Asiya, the daughter of who? And Khadija, the daughter of who? Here we have four CDs and four books. The one who answered the question correctly, you get a CD and a book. You get a CD and a book. And the use of mobile phones is disqualified. Anybody who uses mobile phones is disqualified. So there's no search in the internet. But since nobody else is able to answer, then yellow paper, you've won the CD and the book. You take one CD and one book. Question number two. Now, we mentioned that the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, كَمُلَ مِنَ الرِّجَالِ الْكَثِيرِ. Many men have reached perfection, but no one from the women have reached perfection other than, and he mentioned Asiya, and he mentioned Maryam, and likewise he mentioned that Aisha radiallahu anha, the virtue of Aisha over the rest of the women is what? Or is like what? The virtue of Aisha over the rest of the women is like what? Question number two. The virtue of Aisha over the rest of the women is like what? طيب. Just to repeat our second question, we said that the virtue, that the hadith, in the hadith, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that the virtue of Aisha over the rest of the women is what? طيب. Next question, while you're considering the last question, we mentioned likewise that now we mentioned likewise that Asiya, she made dua to Allah Azza wa Jal for something. What was it that she made dua to Allah Azza wa Jal for? That's question number 3. Question number 4. Yellow paper. I'm gonna give you the answer. I'm gonna give you the question. But it wasn't deed, it was a thareed. It was a thareed. That Aisha, the virtue of Aisha, there's two, both of them. Both of these the two of them take. So the both those two papers that came over, inshallah, the two you can take. Yellow paper, you put two answers on the thing, but we'll only give you one of those answers. And white paper, you may likewise take from it. Alright, طيب. We said that ثريد
only two.
Just them two. We said that ثريد is a certain type of food. What type of food is it? ثريد, that is THAREED. ثريد is a certain type of food that was considered from the most noble of the food of the Arab. What type of food is it? What type of meal is it? Like we likewise mentioned, that Zakaria used to enter upon Maryam and he saw something that amazed him. He would enter upon her and he saw that which amazed him. What is it that he saw that amazed him? That she had with her fruits from the winter in the summer, fruits from the summer in the winter. Now, طيب. Last question. How many years? How many years after the death of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam did Aisha live? No, it's already here. I've just realized it's on the yellow paper. Yellow paper mentioned 50 years, and that is what is correct. That Aisha, 45 is wrong. Aisha radiallahu anha lived for 50 years after the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.